Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett, the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Lion King and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, the question is, can I get you to cheat?
How's that?
Can you tell me if you liked The Lion King?
Well, I'm just about to do that.
Rats.
I think The Lion King is okay. It's certainly no great movie, but it's okay. And it's certainly, both of these movies, by the way, are doing pretty well at the box office. The Lion King, I don't usually talk about box office, as we know, because being successful does not make a movie good, and being good, Lord knows, does not make a movie successful automatically. But The Lion King, just sort of financially speaking, is quite amazing. It cost more than $250 million to make, and it's only been out for a few days, and it's already made across various countries of the world more than $1 billion in returns. So we can see now why people go into the movie business, because sometimes there's a whole lot of money to be made there. There's also a whole lot of money to be spent there. What's interesting, one of the interesting things about the new version of The Lion King is that it is the technology of it. And in this case, a lot of money went not only into the technology, but into developing the technology. There's never been a movie, I suppose it can safely be said, that has looked quite like this before. Now, The Lion King, of course, the brand new version, is a remake of a very nice little animated movie. Not little, very nice animated movie that came out in 1994. And I've seen it a few times over the years, and it's a good, solid, old-fashioned Walt Disney Company animation. It's all drawn by hand, and that is where it parts company with the new Lion King. In terms of its story, in terms of its dialogue, even individual lines of dialogue, in terms of its music, it is so close to the original. This is not a case where they said, oh, well, we can really update this and change this and make this a new kind of a story. Of course, there have been various modifications that have been done. It's not exactly the same, but it's really, really similar to the original film. So if you know the original film and you really want to relive that experience, then the new movie is sort of going to do that. But only sort of, because the movie looks so incredibly different. And this is where we get into the technology part of it. They have used various very, very up-to-date technologies that weren't dreamed of, I'm sure, for the most part, back in 1994. But, they involve things like virtual reality techniques and augmented reality techniques and motion capture techniques and all of this. And what this has given us is a movie which is, I understand that the very first shot of the film is a vista that was actually filmed in Africa. But the whole rest of the movie is just completely and basically an animated film that looks really like a live action movie. However, the animals are all talking. You know, this is obviously a talking animal film. And so in that way, of course, it's not realistic at all. And it seems to me that in theory, sort of ideally speaking, this ought to be a truly awesome experience where we are seeing these incredibly realistic animals that can walk around and talk and do all kinds of things that human beings do. In fact, I think instead of combining the great virtues of total realism and what can only happen in fairy tales, I think we get actually neither of the best of those two worlds. We have animals that look very realistic but don't act realistically, and we have that sort of clash. The two things don't exactly jibe. They sort of contradict each other. So, again, we should have real life realism plus fairy tale fantasy. And in fact, I think what we have is those two things in certain ways sort of canceling each other out. So I haven't really said much about what The Lion King is about. I'm sure a lot of people know that. It is about the King of the Lions, this is sort of the king of the whole realm of this particular area of Africa where the movie takes place. And the king, at the very first thing that happens is he has a little son who is born, and the son will eventually become the Lion King, of course, and we hear all about the circle of life. That's the most famous thing about the old Lion King and also the new Lion King, and about how, you know, old things pass away, but new things are born, etc. And what happens is that early in the film, the Lion King, the real Lion King, Mufasa, meets with a tragedy, and since the young Lion Prince, Simba, is involved in this, he is very badly traumatized and sort of runs away and lives with other animals for a while, and et cetera, et cetera. The movie continues on from there, and of course it all comes to a pretty darn happy ending. There's also a very bad lion in it, the Lion King's brother. So again, these things are all well known. The thing about The Lion King that has been criticized by some, and I agree with this criticism, is that animal faces may be very expressive to other animals of their species, and even other animals of other species, but animal faces don't tend to be awfully expressive to us human beings. Of course, we look into the face of our dog in various moods, and we read all kinds of emotional meanings into it, but some of them are really just things that we are reading into that face. Other things may really be there, but we human beings, at least for us human beings, have the most expressive of all faces. And you know, these animated faces in The Lion King, they look like real animals. They look like real lions or a warthog or a meerkat or all the different kinds of animals that we have, but they just aren't very expressive. Their mouths move when they talk, but they just don't have that. And you know, one of the great things about old-fashioned movie animation is that you can express almost anything. And that is where the new Lion King, for all of the fancy technologies and all of the incredible resources that were put into it, just doesn't really live up to the old animated film. I don't think the original Lion King from 1994 is one of the greatest Disney animations, but it's a real good, entertaining movie. And by the way, the new Lion King is about a half hour longer, so its flaws are all the more glaring because it does run a half hour longer. But you know, whereas in that earlier animation, the Disney artists could express practically anything, in the new movie, the new technologies, because of the limitations they put on themselves, these have to look like real animals, it just doesn't quite work. So I'm sort of lukewarm about the new Lion King. I saw it, by the way, in 3D IMAX, which is quite an eyeful, but I can't say that it really moved me or got to me. It's a very impressive achievement, but I don't think it's a very warm or lovable achievement. Speaking of achievements that aren't very warm or lovable,
a good segue.
Yeah, let us turn to Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And it is pretty darn long. It is well over 2.5 hours. And I have to say, I have such mixed feelings about Quentin Tarantino. First of all, what is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood about? It's a movie that's getting enormous buzz, so I'm sure most people have heard about it already. But it is basically a story about a couple of Hollywood employees. An actor who has definitely, middle-aged actor, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. His best days are definitely behind him. Now he's working in television, and he's not even sure that his TV career is going to last, and he drinks too much, and he's just sort of a crusty, hard-boiled kind of a character who is not doing very well in what was once a very promising career. And he has a guy who works for him, played by Brad Pitt. And this guy is mainly the driver for the Leonardo DiCaprio character, but he's also a stunt person who works as a stunt double in movies when he can get the work. And so the movie is about the two of them sort of ambling around Hollywood, doing some things together, doing some things separately, and woven into all this is the story of the horrifying Manson family murders, specifically the murder of Sharon Tate, who at that time was married to the director, Roman Polanski. She was murdered when she was pregnant by the Manson family. Various other people were murdered as well the next day. The same general gang murdered some other people, and all of this, of course, is one of the great horrifying episodes in Hollywood history and even in American history. So that is what Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is about. It is a rambling kind of a movie with different plot lines that sometimes intersect, involving the two main characters, and then the Manson family that comes into it every once in a while, mainly during a long scene when the stunt double character visits where the Manson family is living on the Spahn Movie Ranch, which is sort of a movie location near Hollywood. And then it all comes to this sort of horrifying climax, as often happens. Now, the thing about Quentin Tarantino is that there are certain things he loves to do. One thing he loves to do is violence. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is less violent than a number of other Tarantino movies, although we all know, since the Manson family is involved in this, that it is working its way up to some sort of a sort of explosive climax. And yes, it does come along, although again, it's milder than you'll find in some other Quentin Tarantino movies. Another thing that Quentin Tarantino really likes to do these days especially is he loves revenge fantasies. And that is a problem, because his revenge fantasies often, I think, are sort of lunkheaded. They always take revenge against the people who we want to see revenge taken against. But it is, he has a sort of very adolescent mind when it comes to this sort of thing. And this is what Once Upon a Time in Hollywood boils down to. It is basically another Quentin Tarantino revenge fantasy, and which builds up to a violent climax. And I don't think that it is as effective as some of his other films, and I think that it is certainly duller than a lot of his other films. Now, I said I had mixed feelings about Quentin Tarantino, and I really do. I still remember when his first movie, his first feature, Reservoir Dogs, made a big splash back in the early 90s, and I remember exactly what I thought when I had seen it. Virtuoso filmmaker. This guy has astounding talent, astounding artistic and technical talent, put at the service, however, of a story which was pointless and vicious. He then made Pulp Fiction just a couple of years later. Pulp Fiction, I think, is quite a remarkable film. Yes, 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 it is really, really violent and sort of over the top in a whole lot of ways, but it's brilliantly acted. It has an amazing set of intersecting stories that sort of cross and recross each other in fascinating ways, and it's really a major achievement. Since then, he's made a lot of other movies, Jackie Brown, which I like, Kill Bill, the two parts of that, which I don't like so much, and some very minor stuff along the way. But, you know, I think things sort of changed a little bit around 2009, 2010. He made Inglourious Basterds, a movie about the Second World War era, in which, at the climax, Hitler gets killed and a whole lot of evil Nazis. This has nothing to do with what actually happened in history. Then he made Django Unchained, a movie about the American South during the era of slavery. It is another horrifying revenge fantasy in which, yes, revenge is taken against all the people we want the revenge to be taken against, but the whole thing just seems sort of ridiculous because it's not the way history actually operated. Then he made a movie called The Hateful Eight, which also came under the general categories I've been talking about. We have revenge, we have violence, we have this and we have that. And now we have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is yet the same thing again. Now, one of the problems that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has, that some of these other films don't have quite so badly, is that it really is kind of dull. It meanders. It wanders. You have to wait a long time for something to happen. Now, that would be fine if the wandering, the meandering were really interesting. But, you know, it just isn't a lot of the time for me. One of the things about this movie, or one of the things about Tarantino, is that he is capable at oftentimes of bringing out brilliant performances from actors who are generally brilliant anyway, but he gets them to do their best. I don't think Leonardo DiCaprio does his best in this movie. I don't think Timothy Oliphant does his best in this movie. I don't think a whole lot of people do their best in this movie. The one exception to that being Brad Pitt, who gives a very loose, lanky comic performance. He's really good. But a lot of the others are really not at their best. So if you're watching a movie which wanders and meanders and takes a long time before various things happen, then you gotta see really excellent acting. And I just don't think this movie delivers that. I'll give an example. There's a moment when the Sharon Tate character goes off to see herself in one of the movies that she has been in. It is a long, pointless scene which seems to accomplish nothing but project the character of Sharon Tate, as played by Margot Robbie, as just kind of an airhead who just loves to sit in the movie and say, oh, look at me, that's me up there on the screen. It's a silly, pointless scene, and the movie has too many of those. Now, Quentin Tarantino tends to divide moviegoers, tends to divide critics, and I've already gotten a whole lot of flack on the internet for not particularly liking Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's a good movie, but it's just actually sort of good. But it is nowhere near the level of what Quentin Tarantino can do, and he's at his best. A lot of people, including Tarantino himself, are not at their best in this movie. He says that he is only going to make one more film after this, and then he is going to retire. I think that he really should have maybe already done that. I wish he would go back to making movies that are as excellent in so many ways as Pulp Fiction, but in recent years he's been on the decline. His technical skills are great. His storytelling skills are slipping. His acting, directing skills are certainly not what they once were. And overall, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is that rarity, I suppose, from Quentin Tarantino, a mediocre movie. And that is my somewhat mixed story this week, Joe.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Lion King and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.